Juanita ended up coming to this church 16 years ago. 16 years ago? 17 years ago, excuse me. We met at the hospital where I work. She's a volunteer, and we met when you're working on Christmas decorations for the hospital. And we became friends. And she was fascinated by the fact that at that time we still met over at Church of the Savior and only did church on Sunday nights. And being a former Baptist preacher's wife, I think that intrigued her. And she kept wondering how you could do that. And she kept hinting that she'd like to visit. Well, I hadn't come out to her, didn't know how she would take it, not knowing her very well at that time. So finally on the phone one night, she's saying, "I want to go to church with you." And so I said, "Well, Juanita, you need to know that this is a church that ministers mostly to gay lesbians in the community." And she says, "Well, you're not gay, are you?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Well, that doesn't matter." And so she came and visited with me, and she's got lots of other stories she could tell you about those times. But she's been with us ever since. And she's been a wonderful minister to all of us, and I'm excited that she can come and share her story with us today.
I don't know about this. Whew, what a crowd. Now, I'm not a speaker. You that know me know that I'm not a speaker. And when you that don't know me, when
it's
I finish...
This is her son, Jim. Okay.
This is the one that you have prayed so faithfully for, and now he's got to visit us. It's been a long haul, but we made it. Now, when I found out that I think you two got together and brought this up, I can't really find out who's to blame. If I do, you're in trouble. But Ray has always been nervous about it. And he knew it was potluck, and he knew that you had a service tonight. And he was afraid if I got the floor that I would go through the lunch hour right on him at the time. And I said, "Now, Ray, here's how we can handle that. You see him running around with a little container of cough drops. Well, that's for the choir." I said, "You go through those cough drops, and if you get the smallest one you can find, and you put it in your mouth. And when that is dissolved, you scratch your head, and I know it's time for me to sit down." But we're talking about life, and I have really, really enjoyed my life. It's only because I had the partner of God to walk with, and for the good friends and the family that I have had to share my life with. I was a second child of five, a daughter. I had a brother, me, and another brother. Well, when they got us up out of the way and turned around and had two more, a little boy and a little girl. Well, we didn't know where they got them, but we didn't care. All we cared was we had them, and they were ours. And oh, how we played and wagged those little things around. We just wore them out. But I worked 2 days at the hospital for... They have to pass the desk where I'm working to go to the family birthing. And I see the dads coming in with the little ones, 2 and 3 and 4. And one of them had 5 little ones with him. And he asked me if I wanted one of them. And I told him, "No, thank you." But they're always a smiling and a skipping, and they'll look at me and they'll wave, or they'll smile, or they'll wink, or they'll throw me a kiss. That thrills me. So this little guy was coming along, and oh, how happy he was. And I said, oh, are you going to get your new baby? Yeah, I said, it's not in Mama's belly now. Well, I learned where babies come from. And another lesson I learned from a child. If I never did like to be or admit that I was to blame for something that went wrong. So that one was quite small. He's the oldest. My youngest son passed away 5-6 years ago next month. But I did something one day. He was a little guy about this tall. I don't know what I did, but I looked at him, I said, look what you made me do. He said, I didn't tell you to do that. So he taught me not to blame other people for my faults. And it has stayed with me. I forgot a lot of things that I've learned, but I remembered that. Now, our parents were strong Christians, and they took us to church. They didn't send us. They took us. And they taught us why we went and how to behave after we got there. And they taught us about the singing and what it meant for the church. It's the beginning of the service. It's to get everybody settled in. And went, you know what? A choir's kind of helpful for entertaining. You don't give it a thought, but a choir does. And we began to take notice of the choir director, how faithful and hard he worked. And the choir, how faithful and attentive they were to their duty. And oh yeah, by the way, thank you, Red Choir. So we enjoyed our going to church. We had to sit on the front row, and after church service started, that was it. We gave our attention to the choir and to the minister. And we grew up appreciating what someone else was doing for us to enjoy. Well, we lived a normal life. 3 children, a dad that went to work every day, and a mother that was at home with the children. And it was a lot of fun. And we just enjoyed life, period. Well, it wasn't long until the Great Depression hit. Dad didn't go to work, and we didn't know why. We didn't know what depression was, but anyway, it was there. So our grandfather, which lived about 50 miles away, had a farm. And on this farm, he had a tenant house. I think that's what you called it. But we moved to our grandfather's farm in that house. And oh, what a good time we had. There was an old horse, and she just loved for us to ride her. We didn't have a saddle, but one would help the other up on the horse. And here, that old horse didn't care if we rode it all day long. We had a bridge to play in. Well, we'd never had that before. There we were. We could baptize if you wanted to. But we really enjoyed the farm. Well, there was the first time I had a little girl to play with. Everywhere I went, there's boys. And I was beginning to be a tomboy. But that wasn't good. But anyway. When we were on the farm, it was a normal life. And oh, how we did enjoy it. But then, time got better. And our dad got his job back. So what did that mean? Move again. Well, we moved again, but oh, how we loved it out there on that farm, a great wide open space where we could play, yell, holler, and not bother the one that's next door right on your doorstep. You know, there's a difference in that. But anyway, Mother and Dad really did keep us involved. And they would play board games with us, and they would take us walks. Well, they tried to teach us to be a good loser. If we lost, be a good loser. Well, my youngest brother never did learn how. And they taught us to always be honest and to play fair. Well, I was the one that wasn't honest because I never did like to lose. And then they would go on walks with us. They would teach us to appreciate the smallest little flower that we ran upon or the great big oak tree that we passed by. It's God's creation, and it was created for us, and appreciate it and take care of it. But time kept passing on, and we kept growing up. And I told you in the beginning that those two little ones were added to the family. Well, they began to be in our way. It wasn't as much fun. My little sister wasn't old enough to play with me. And just a lot of things got in the way. But anyway, time went on. But we weren't like a cat. Now, we've just got one life, so we have to make the best of it. Would you like to be a cat and have nine lives? But after a while, we began to grow. And we all were in school, the little ones in the lower grades, and we were in the upper grades. And time passed on, and life was fleeting by. And all of a sudden, a whirlwind hit the family. And we just began to twirl and grow and fall in different directions. This one landed here, and this one there. But still, we were family, so we kept in touch. Well, I saw all three of my brothers go to the service, and not at the same time. And they all three came back. But the middle one came back with no hearing at all. He doesn't hear a sound. The ship that he was on, they were loading one of the guns to let it go off. And he was too close to it, so he just started his hearing. But he accepted it. He just accepted that so gratefully. Just a young boy, not able to hear. But fortunately, somebody somewhere came across a hearing aid that he could use. But he had to wear a great big battery right here, and it had straps in it. He said, "I'm the only man I know that wears a bra." But still, time went on, regardless of where we were. Time went on. Well, it wasn't long until I had always read my Bible. And in the Sunday school class that I was in, there was another one of the members that we would memorize the verses for our Sunday school lesson. She would take the first half, and I'd remember the last half. So therefore, the verses were memorized. Well, our teacher was just elated at that. Now, I learned a lot of scripture, but I think I forgot more than I learned. But we really enjoyed our Sunday school class, and we learned a lot. But then time is still passing on, still rolling on. And we began to go our separate ways. And then the death angel visited our home. One morning about 1:15, we got called out of bed. Our dad had passed away. We didn't have a chance to say goodbye, but we knew where our dad had gone, but we were crying for our sake. We were pitiful. It hurt. Dad was gone. Even though we were grown, we needed our dad. But fortunately, we were all through school. The baby sister was in nurse's training, and that left mother at home alone. Well, now today, I know what mother went through. If we live long enough, we'll go through a lot of things, won't we? But it wasn't long until mother went back to work, which that took her time, and which it eased us children, knowing that mother was busy and with someone. But here comes the show. Me, a preacher's wife. Can you believe that? And I thought, well, people kept encouraging me, "Oh, you can do it, you're friendly, and you're all this and all that." And I began to believe them. And I thought, well, now what is my duty? Oh, I know, I'm to keep everybody happy. And they'll keep coming back, whether the preacher's good preacher or not. worked, well, like it is here, you know, after church, people aren't ready to go home, so why do you even close the service? Just keep on preaching. But they would gather in little huddles outside the church, and they'd be laughing because I thought, I'm going to join them. I'm going to see what's going on. Well, I had heard a joke at work, and I thought it was a pretty good joke because everybody laughed. So I told them that joke. Well, everybody just really roared. Well, my husband heard us, and he saw a little click down there in the corner, so got in the car, started home, and he says, what were you all laughing about? I said, I told him a joke. He said, it sure was funny the way you laughed. I said, what was it? Well, I told him. Uh-oh. It's a dirty joke, but I didn't know it was dirty. So, he said, from now on, if you were going to tell a joke, you tell it to me first. Well, I never did get to tell another joke. But so much for me and the joke. Anyway, people kept coming back to church, so I must have done something right. But I had these two little boys, and I thought, now it's my duty to take care of these little boys, see that they are well behaved, like I was brought up. So I would sit with one on one side and one on the other. Well, it was election time, and my husband tried to keep his politics quiet, even though he was a voter. Three hot-headed politicians in the church, they were just too hot-headed to deal with, to be in church. So they got my little boy out. He wasn't in school yet. And they said, what is your dad? Is he a Democrat or Republican? Said he dropped his head for a second. He said, oh, he ain't neither one of them. He's Baptist. Now, this one's sitting over there just as nice and quiet as he could be, and the other one out entertaining like his mama. So, time went on. And one Sunday, going home, the little one asked his dad, says, why do those men pass this plate and you put money in it? And he said, oh, the church has bills and you have to pay the bills and they pay the preacher. Well, that satisfied him. The next Sunday, coming from church, he reached his little hand up between his dad and me and says, your dad, I took an offering for you and my class that I got this much. Well, we got another lecture when we got home. Oh, it was a life, but time just went on and they still kept us. And it was, they were growing up and they were getting more interested in what church was all about, and they were taking part in Sunday school class, they were taking part in Bible school. And I was so proud of them. But that little one, sometimes, I didn't know whether I was proud of him or not. We lived next door to the school. And we had a little path behind that you didn't have to go out the main road to go to school. Well, it wasn't anything for the preacher, for the principal to call me and say, well, we've got him out here. He's in the study hall. Well, I knew where he was. I didn't worry about him. So one Sunday at church, well, most of our students were bused in out of the mountain. And they were always bringing a little squirrel, a little rabbit, or a little something in, and they'd give it to Johnny. Well, he already had a rabbit cage, so he'd just bring it home, put it in the cage, not tell me anything about it. So one Sunday at church, he kept a twisting and a squirming, and I said, be still. I can't, my possum is getting hot. Well, I pulled that pocket back, and there was that little possum, and I'd always heard of possums grinning. That one was a grinning. I pushed that pocket back over, and I said, be still. That was the longest message my husband ever preached. And I couldn't tell you a word he said. But so much for... But the boys grew up, they went on their way, and life was lonely. So Amenia had to get me something else going to fulfill their place. You know, you can't take someone else's place. You just have to do something different that you've never done before. So Jim went to Vietnam. Johnny was still in high school, crying. He said, "Mom, you are so lonely." He said, "There's a boy at school that needs a place to stay." And we told Jim, and Jim says, "He can have my room." So we kept that boy. And he went to church with us, a nice, well-groomed, well-trained boy. And time went on. They graduated and went their separate ways. And here I was, left at home again, just me and that preacher. And I thought, this is not going to work. So I got busy. I joined every club I could find. But then, all too soon, I was left a widow. All alone. And some of the widows have already told me what to prepare for. Now, you'll be getting telephone calls. And sure enough, I did. Well, instead of the call, this one kept this nice young man. Well, he wasn't young. He's old as I was. But he got to stopping by and just for a visit. Well, I didn't invite him in, but he came in anyway. And he said one morning, he says, "Oh, I was driving by and it was so lonely. I thought I'd stop and cheer you up." I thought for a minute, it didn't take me long to answer him. I said, "Well, I'd rather be lonely as miserable." Did you know he never did come back? Then it wasn't long after that. Still, I was in church and I wasn't enjoying myself like I've normally had because I didn't have the boys, one on one side, one on the other. And I didn't have somebody up there in the pulpit watching me every move I made. So they invited me to join the choir. And I did. Well, I didn't enjoy that either. So I just about dropped out of church. And that's when I met him. I don't know if that's good or bad. But finally one night he asked me if I'd like to join the choir. Well, I never turned that down. You might not believe this, but I used to do special singing. But I laid that down a long time ago. And, of course, I joined the choir. I was tickled to death to be invited. Well, this is the sixth choir that I have been in. And all of them are so different. Now, there was about three of them that I couldn't be regular because of two little boys. But when I could, I was there and really enjoyed it. But man alive, I'll tell you, you people are thinking exactly what he thought. Out of six choirs, it looks to me like you'd learned something. But as Pastor Jill mentioned last Sunday, where did we come from? And that put me to thinking, where have I gone? Where have I been? And where am I going? Will my plans work out? Will they include God? And, you know, I've been in 29 airports, but that didn't make me famous. And that didn't bring me any closer to God. I've been out of the country 7 times, but that didn't make me famous. I didn't do anything that I have done that had little impact on God and God's kingdom. But as I was memorizing verses in Scripture, and the verse that I learned that we read in John 15, "Whosoever believeth on God shall have eternal life." And that verse has always been special to me because "whosoever" meant me. And I didn't have to buy it. I didn't have to work for it. All I had to do was believe. And I felt comfort in that, regardless of what comes. And it's like I said before, I've had a lot of heartache. And giving up a child, you'll never know how that hurts. But I had people praying for me when I wasn't able to pray for myself. And I've made it through this far. I'm filled with life. And it's a sweet life. I can't get out of it. That life is there. But I better make the best of it I can and make every day count. But life is an endless circle within God. There's no end. From the beginning, before our birth, beyond the transition that we call death, there's life. And this earthly garment that I have on this morning covers what I call my body. And I cherish my body. I appreciate my body. And I take care of it. But life, I'm still filled with life. And my soul wears this earthly garment, which I have just told you I call my body. And when God calls me home, I will hear Him. He'll say, Juanita, you're tired and you're lonely. Come be with me. And that's when I will lay this earthly garment down and go with my Lord throughout eternity. Church, I love you.